Hi, this is Dr. William Renner. Today I'm here with Dr. Alan Safdie. Thank you for joining us on the best series of podcasts in America on wellness and longevity, in our opinion. Dr. Safdie has too many accolades to mention here, but let me give you a few. He's highly published medical doctor. He's board certified in internal medicine and gastroenterology, and he's an international speaker. He's the past president and chairman of the Ohio Gastroenterology and Liver Institute, the past chairman of the Deaconess Hospital Gastroenterology Department, and was elected by other gastroenterologists as the chairman and president of the Ohio Gastroenterology Society. Go to TellurideLongevityInstitute.org for more information on him, on our lecture courses, and for articles. Dr. Safdie, today we're talking about a very exciting topic, vitamins and supplements. Every day I'm bombarded by all these commercials telling me to take more vitamins, take more supplements. Is there a magic bullet to make us feel young?
That's a really good question, and thank you very much for having me today. We're always endlessly in a search for the magic bullet for health and longevity, the mythical fountain of youth in a capsule. May I suggest, Bill, that if you want the mythical fountain of youth, you start in two different places, the farmer's market and the gym, not necessarily in a drugstore. The populations that live the longest in the world do not rely on these supplements. If we look at the Seventh-day Adventists, the Costa Ricans, the Sardinians, the Okinawans, it's a lifestyle that they have. There is not a magic bullet in regards to this. The vitamin industry is huge right now, and supplement industry. I don't want to discriminate from one or the other, but we'll talk about those in the subsequent podcast of supplements. But it's approximately a $30 billion industry in the United States. The reason you get confused when you go into the store, there's over 90,000 products on the market. And about 52% of people in the United States use at least one supplement product. And a significant portion use up to four supplements per day.
Well, Alan, you look the same as you did 30 years ago. You haven't gained any weight. You're in great shape. You go to the gym for hours a day. What supplements and vitamins do you take?
That's a really good question. We'll get into some of the data. Not all supplements are without risk, and we have looked at supplements for many, many years. After reviewing three trials of multivitamin supplements and 24 trials of single or paired supplements, they looked at over 400,000 participants. In a previous study, the authors concluded there was no clear evidence of any beneficial effect of the supplements on all-cause mortality, meaning dying from a variety of causes, heart disease, cancer, et cetera. So I don't rely on supplements. When I look at a bowl of green soup that my wife and I will make, which has kale and spinach and other things in it, let me change that, that not my wife and I, my wife will make and I will eat. I think of that as my supplement. I think of my food as my supplement. So I do not rely on supplements. The few supplements I do take, they're judged by blood levels, especially vitamin D. Most people that live, especially over 37 degrees latitude, are going to be vitamin D deficient. It's something I judge. Too much is bad, too little is bad. And we'll go into some of the vitamin D studies. I do take, when I travel, and I do a lot of traveling in other countries for medical reasons, I volunteer in other countries, and where my diet can't be more pristine, at that time I may take a multivitamin several times per week when I'm traveling. And depending upon my diet, I may take a omega-3 supplement, but mine is in the form of flaxseed oil rather than fish oil. So very rarely do I rely on any supplements.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned fish oil, because I'm always confused about fish oil and vitamin D. There's a ton of debate right now about those two. Can you straighten us out? What's the story on fish oil and vitamin D?
So if any of you picked up a newspaper recently, you're going to see something called the VITAL study, V-I-T-A-L study. that looked at the benefits of omega-3 fish oil and vitamin D over a period of time. It enrolled about 25,000, almost 26,000 individuals in it, and looked at a lot of research questions during that. And they were either assigned to fish oil supplements or placebo. And same in the vitamin D arm for that. Unfortunately, even though you would think this is a long-term study, you know, a study that's 5.3 years in length is not really a long-term study when you're looking at cancer. Cancer can take up to 10 years to develop. So I think it was prematurely stopped at 5.3 years when the data is looked at. In my opinion, this is very short for a study that's designed to show a cancer benefit by a supplement. And the majority of cardiovascular events occurred in only 386 people taking the omega-3s, but there was 419 people on placebos that had cardiovascular events. So if we had more people, would some of those show some benefit? The headlines mentioned that there's really no benefit to either one of those things. And let me explore that a little bit more. What do you think, Bill, when you see those headlines?
Well, you know, it's confusing to me because I can remember the early studies saying that fish oil would definitely help with cardiovascular disease. The early studies in people post-MI, reportedly, the people with fish oil did better than the people that were on drugs. So I'm kind of confused. I've also seen studies where fish oil is beneficial in arthritis, even so in animal studies. And animals don't have a placebo effect. So it makes me wonder if these drugs, if the omega-3s are beneficial.
So this is something I want everybody to think about. What Bill mentioned is true. There's inflammatory pathways within joints called lipoxyoxygenase and cyclooxygenase. I don't expect anybody in the world to remember that. And omega-3s, including some other supplements that we'll talk about in the next podcast, can block those pathways. What did this study look at? It didn't look at arthritis. It didn't look at dementia. It didn't look at other things. You look at the headlines and you think these are worthless compounds. No, you have to look at what we're looking at and you have to look at the time period. You have to analyze the research that's there. So it didn't look at some of these things that you were looking at as secondary prevention, post myocardial infarction, did not look at this. This is primary protection. In the vitamin D part, we have shown that participants with blood levels of vitamin D that were higher had one-fifth the risk of breast cancer in other studies. So why didn't this show a decrease? Again, I think 5.3 years is a little bit too short. Another study looking at colon cancer showed in the largest study of its kind, low levels of vitamin D are linked with significant increase in colorectal cancer. Conversely, high levels appeared to offer some protection. Did that show up in this study? No, it did not really show up in this study, but cancer of the colon, if we look at the brand new cancer cell developing through the precancerous stages through the cancer, often will take 10 years to develop. And a 5.3 years that this study was done, you're not going to show those benefits that you want to. So I think that, you know, in my opinion, the study was a little bit short to look at some of these things. You know, looking at omega-3 fish oils a week, when, you know, there's previous studies out there, the VITAL study was extremely well done, but there may be some benefit to people who are vegetarian who do not like fish. So if we look at those people that don't take in a lot of omega-3s in their diet and don't take in the recommended one or two servings of omega-3-rich fish a week, the supplements were linked to a 40% reduction in heart attacks. That's not in the headlines. So omega-3s, vitamins, it depends on the person's diet. It depends on what they eat. It depends on where they live. You know, so one supplement for you is going to be different than a supplement for me. And so don't just read the headlines. Hopefully in these podcasts, we're going to interpret the headlines for you.
You mentioned something about 37 degrees latitude. You mean north and south. Is that what you're saying, that the people in the north are different than the people in the south?
Yeah. I mean, many years ago, not many years, 200,000 years ago, we lived near the equator. Mankind did not migrate too far from the equator. When the sun is high in the sky, you're going to make quite a bit vitamin D. We have studies looking at inflammatory bowel disease. The farther north you go, the greater the incidence of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. Is that because of vitamin D or some other substance, or is that something else that sunlight make, another hormone that sunlight precipitates, making in our body? We don't know. We think it may be very well vitamin D. So if you look at latitudes, the farther you move from the equator, the more inflammatory bowel disease and other autoimmune diseases you may see. So we look at vitamin D levels. Somebody in southern Florida may need a different dose than somebody in Ohio. I have not seen the sunlight in probably a week since I've been back here. So we need to think about each person as an individual. Every family doctor shouldn't say, this is what you need. This is what you need dependent upon your diet, your exercise, and where you live.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I want to bring up one more topic that really concerns me. As I've seen some articles talking about the harmful effect of the B vitamins. Could you tell me about that, Alan?
Yeah, it's many years ago, one of the first studies that I was involved in was a study on carrots, basically the beta carotene out of a carrot. And we thought, well, people that eat carrots, they do better. They're going to have lower incidence of cancer. Then we looked and said, let's go ahead and give them supplements of this. Let's see if we can lower the risk of them developing cancer. Lo and behold, we couldn't. In fact, there was an increased risk. We know that certain studies, you know, the body of evidence, that certain substances, beta carotene, vitamin E, high doses of vitamin A, may be harmful. Other antioxidants and folic acid and B vitamins and multivitamins have been shown to be relatively ineffective. Now, I have to, one caveat for that is folic acid is absolutely necessary for somebody considering pregnancy. It should be started before conception and continued throughout the time of pregnancy. And some of the B vitamins recently, there's been some studies that show they're potentially harmful taken in very high doses. Remember, too much of anything may be harmful. Too much potassium is harmful. Too much of almost anything we take in can be harmful. So looking at the B vitamins, looking at beta carotene, looking at vitamin E, which increased all-cause mortality in previous studies, and vitamin A, these can be harmful agents. So always discuss with your family physician what you're taking and cumulatively what you're taking. You may be taking a multivitamin and you may be also taking a B complex vitamin. So you have to add those things up and looking at dosages.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Safdie. We have to finish this up, but let me remind everyone that TellurideLongevityInstitute.org has more information on our courses. It has articles, and it's a valuable resource for you. We're constantly updating it and bringing in the latest information to you so that you are a well-informed public.